Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Big evening, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host tonight. We've got a very exciting guest all the way from Columbus, Ohio, Mr. Mike Fields. Mike, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, everybody?
I hope everybody's as fine and ready to listen to this interview as we're ready to hear you talk about it. Now, before we get this started, we really need for you to get out your contact information. How can our listeners reach you?
Okay. The quickest way is by phone. And you can reach me at 614-668-4756. That's 614-668-4756. You can also email me at michaelfields23@yahoo.com. And that's michaelfields23@yahoo.com. And also, you can check out my artwork at fineartamerica.com. That's all one word, fineartamerica.com.
Great. Now, Mike, why don't you let our listeners know a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, where you're born, you know, family life, schools, whatever you like to share so that they can, you know, really get a feel of who is Mike Fields.
Okay. Well, the first thing I'd like to let you know, I'm from Columbus, Ohio, 45 years old, been here for quite a while. I went to school at Bowling Green State University, but actually for computer science, just kind of fell my way into art. Father of a daughter, 23 years old, so she's grown, which kind of led me into going out there and doing the art thing. But former athlete, you know, high school, intramural college, and also DJed for like 15 years. So that's where my love of music and the whole jazz art thing came from. So that's just a quick overview of some background things that kind of lead into why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Great. So you noticed that you were an athlete in school. What sports did you play?
Basketball. From a young age, I did everything, baseball, football, basketball, track, all of that. But went to high school, basketball, was told to stop playing football because of some medical conditions, but that worked out pretty well. Tried to play a little bit in college. That didn't work out, but everything was cool because I found I was always drawn through this whole period. So didn't know that was special until I was in college. I thought everybody could draw. Found out that wasn't the case.
Wow. So how did your love for art just, you know, happen? Because you started off and you said that you were, you know, dealing with computers. And then from there,
Once I found out that computer science was my thing, like once you had a problem with the program, you had to go through the whole thing, I'm like, okay, I don't think that's me. So then as I started fishing around, trying to see what I wanted, fashion merchandising, I took a class in that, couldn't sew worth a darn, but when it came to drawing what you were trying to make, apparently that turned out pretty good. So from one professor to another, he's like, well, you need to try art. So took an art class, and after one of the classes, the professor was like, Mike, let me show you something. So he was showing me the work of the scholarship people, and apparently it wasn't even close to what I was doing. He was like, well, what would you like to do with this? And I said, well, I'd love to be able to do this on a regular. So he said, there's two schools. Now, this is the professor at Bowling Green. He said, there's two schools that will really put you where you're trying to go unless you want to be a teacher. He was like, the New York School of Art, of course, because of New York, and then CCAD, which is the Columbus College of Art and Design. And by me being from Columbus, I was like, well, let me try that. So I came home, put together a portfolio, got accepted, and found out that it's not where I wanted to be, because that was more like a boot camp where they try to break you down before they build you up. And I'm like, man, this is art. It ain't supposed to be like that, at least not that I knew of. And it was expensive as I don't know what, too. So I kind of started finding my way from there.
I'd like you to just talk a little bit about the comment that you just made, because I'm not quite sure I understand it. When you said that they want to break you down before they build you up, do you mean that they have certain, I mean, because it sounds almost like if they want to restrict your artistic freedom, or you need to learn like the basics on how it's always been before you can do the things that you are already talented with doing.
Well, see, that's kind of how I viewed it. I kind of see, like, for me, I don't believe you can teach somebody how to draw. You could teach them techniques,
all
but
right,
trying to teach them how, you're influencing somebody to do it how you think it should be done. To me, that's not art, whether it's music, writing, whatever. You know, I'm thinking, you know, okay, maybe this is how I see it. You know, we all see everything different. So that right there, and I didn't know where that was coming from, but that's what I was feeling like, wow. And then one of the things that came up during the interviewing process on the acceptance was how I start off my drawings. Like, I don't do a lot of shading. And the strangest thing about that was I didn't do shading because when I grew up, my mom used to bring home them little number two pencils with no eraser. So
right,
by not having a whole lot of paper, you couldn't shade, because if you had to erase, you was messing up paper. So I had to leave it like that until I was sure this is what I wanted it to look like. They called that some European technique that I learned somewhere. And I'm like, nah, I learned this because I ain't ever done a chance. So I had to conserve paper. And it was just strange. Like, man, they trying to tell me. And it was almost like they were saying, that's not how you learn how to do that, because it was a European technique. And I'm like, no, that's me trying to make the best out of what I do, like what we do. So, yeah, that turned me off right there.
All right, I can understand how that can have an effect. And
mm-hmm.
giving your technique a title, because, you know, there is a saying that there's really nothing new under the sun. And,
right.
I know that we've always made way with what we had available. So,
absolutely.
Tell me a little bit more about your first commission.
Well, actually, I started off doing, I mean, I would just do album covers, stuff out of Sports Illustrated. I can go back to before that, doing pictures out of comic books. And noticing that, you know, friends and family always liked it, but, you know, I still didn't pay any mind to it because that's back when I was playing ball and everything. But there was a time when it should have clicked. I was probably elementary school, and I won a high school art contest doing a picture of Dracula. But it's still now, somebody should have said something, I think, but nobody did, because I'm like, wait a minute. That should have said I got some talent, but nobody said anything, so I just kept playing ball. But I always remembered that, like, what the heck? So, you know, that's kind of where I should have caught on that, hey, you might be pretty good. But really, it didn't click till college when broke people was like, man, let me buy that picture off of you. You know, stuff I was just doing to kill time. And I'm like, okay, they should let me buy that. So that's when it started kind of percolating in my head that I may be able to do this.
Wow. You said it was just one day they was just like, let me buy that from you.
Yeah. Now, these are broke people saying that.
Oh, yeah, you're at college. I've heard some.
Yeah, that's college students saying that.
Now, how did you start incorporating sports legends into your artwork?
Well, that's what I knew, you know, being an athlete, you know, being around. It's still, at that time, I was still playing a lot. So, you know, doing athletes and everything just seemed natural. And, you know, I like doing figures. And then the one thing that really stood out when I started looking at the kind of things that were out there was I kept seeing, you know, pictures and paintings of you know, the athletes at the time. But if you looked at the face, it didn't look like them. Like you'd see, like back in those days, you'd see number 80 in the red jersey for San Francisco, and you know it was Jerry Rice, but that's only because of the jersey and the number.
Right.
But for whatever reason, I always said, man, that don't look like Jerry Rice. And then it just kept doing that. So the more I kept looking at sports art, I'm like, man, that's not. So I guess maybe that former athlete meant something. Well, I'm going to challenge myself. So I wanted to really try to capture that face, but still give you the action and everything. So that's actually what I still do to this day. I really focus on bringing out the image of the individual that I'm doing.
Now, when you go to your to the website, fineartamerica.com, mm-hmm. how would we find you there?
Once you go on to fineartamerica.com, just like when it asks for artists, you can just click in my name. Actually, it'll be under Michael Fields, and from there it should take you right to it. And this, actually, that's like a temporary site, and I kind of just did that just to see, you know, what everybody else thought. And when I started getting hits from all over the world and they started to like what I was doing, I'm like, well, okay, hold on now. It may be something more here. So it's been a developing thing for me.
All right. Now, you also mentioned that you were a DJ for about 15 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I love doing the music thing. So, you know, as I did my first sports show, and it was really cool because it was a solo show, which I wasn't expecting right off the bat. But I have to thank Mr. Tali Bamazi, who owns a gallery in our art district, who kind of discovered me on the sly. He actually forgot something when there was an event in his gallery, came back by and was like, man, we got to talk, because I happen to have a few paintings in there for the event. And it led into, he said he had a dream about it. I ended up doing a sports show, and the show did extremely well. And by me being in Columbus, Ohio, of course I had to, you know, feature the Ohio State Buckeyes, which the people here are crazy about. But then, even though I was getting a lot of accolades, I got a lot of media coverage, all the newspapers covered it, and it was actually one of the first shows that got covered every week by three different media outlets as far as for the art stuff. And I was like, wow. And it was doing really well, but then I still would hear, you know, do you do Florida people? Do you do Michigan players? Do you do? I'm like, yeah, I'll just change the colors. I can do whoever you want. But I just thought it was strange that they couldn't see that because all they kept seeing were, you know, the Buckeye players. So then I also felt like, okay, I'm doing this good. I want to reach a bigger audience. And the only way to do that, if I was going to keep doing sports, was try to do players from every team in every city, and that was crazy. So that's when I thought about the music thing, and that's when my second love came in with the music. And then as I started researching that, because that's another big part of how I do what I do, I always do research, whether on the people, the subject matter, the whole thing, because it makes the picture easier for me.
Right.
And I noticed that same thing that they were doing in sports art, they were doing in music. They give a black man a trumpet and call it Louis Armstrong or Miles Davis, and I'm like, that don't look like Miles. and the whole thing, too, and as I started really trying to learn about it, I'm like, okay, this is America's only art form, and we made this happen. So we really need to, you know, do it justice. So, you know, I really started looking at that. And I'm like, now, if a young kid is trying to learn about Miles or Louis, you want to at least know what he looked like and not just look for a man with a trumpet and think that's him. So that's,
you know,
what led me into doing that.
That's funny because that's kind of funny as I've been perusing your site. I that's exactly the plane that I was on was Miles Davis.
Okay. And the other part of, like, when I do the people, and because of the research that I do, And when I'm talking about research, I really want to know, like, who they are, what they did. I look at several pictures. I mean, I even look for, like, what other paintings are out there. I look at a lot of photographs. And from what I read, I really try to capture, like, the One Miles painting that I believe you're looking at where he's kind of got that lean. That's what he's known for, because they actually have one of his, they have that as a silhouette. And I didn't even know that at the time, so it kind of worked out where the research was helping me out with the paintings. And then another thing I do is I listen to their music as I'm doing the painting.
Oh, yeah.
So that kind of gives me a feel for what they are.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Before we go further, can you please get out your contact information again for our listeners?
Okay. You can reach me by phone at 614-668-4756. That's 614-668-4756. Or you can reach me by email at michaelfields23@yahoo.com. which is michaelfields23@yahoo.com. Or you can go to my website and check me out at findartamerica.com. That's all one word, findartamerica.com.
Now, when you decided that you were going to do this after you had a couple of people, you know, in college even, want to buy some of your artwork, what would you say was your biggest challenge?
Huh. Well, at that point, I didn't really go into it as I can do this as a career. I mean, I've actually just started doing this full-time for 2 years now. I've just been doing it full-time 2 years. I kind of always just would, you know, like I said, always drew, always had some kind of drawings going. But it wasn't until I think I went to a little art party from some group called Artistic Impressions. And they had all these oil paintings. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, that's not all that hot. And it was funny because one of the pictures where the men who were kind of dragged to the thing who didn't want to be there, they kind of got them excited. It was this picture of, and you may have seen it, of little kids with like a Larry Bird and a Michael Jordan jersey and a Magic Johnson jersey with their back turned kind of sitting. Yeah. See that one? I'm like, you can't even see their face. So that kind of made me say, well, man, I'm going to do sports art and I'm going to do the face. So right then, and then I said I'm going to use oil because that's the one media that, you know, a lot of people were scared of and all of that. So I kind of wanted to challenge myself, and I'm pretty sure that athlete in me kind of put that on me where, okay, you're going to do it like that. And then the other thing was, because I'm a self-taught artist, I wanted to make sure it had a painterly feel to it and just try to keep the whole action, the motion, the whole thing going. I mean, there's sometimes I even leave the actual pencil because I draw straight on the canvas. And I mix my colors straight on the canvas where if you read a book or you go to a class, they tell you not to do that because you could make it muddy. But, you know, that's what I love about being self-taught. You just go for it. So I do that, and, you know, my results kept coming out good. And then what kind of helped me know that this was another thing I could do, I started donating pieces to charity events.
Okay.
And myself would sell. Now, although I wasn't getting any money, I was just happy about the sales. So I was starting to actually build up my name.
That's really big thinking and really great for marketing because a lot of people that start their own businesses or, you know, they're always looking for what they can get at that point but did not realize how, you know, you realize that just by donating your work, you've got more people, a bigger audience that might be able to see you, find out, well, who's the artist? Because I'd like to get one also.
Right. And it was a blessing that I discovered that early because I knew not to try to chase the dollar. And the one thing, too, was, And I would tell that to anybody. Research what you're trying to do. I don't care, you know, art or computer store, whatever you're trying to do. Research as much as you can so you know, what it is you need to know before you even start. So don't waste your time and waste your energy and waste your dollars that you do have. You know, you want to have as much knowledge as you can so when you move forward, you're moving in a direction. And the other thing I would suggest is kind of have an idea of where you want to end. So when you're starting, every move you make, it ought to be trying to help you get there and not just the move. Like one of the things I learned, especially by me doing people, don't do every hot player that's out there. It ain't always going to be hot. I mean, it's almost like if I did an Allen Iverson painting, that ain't going to do but so much unless that Philly fan really, really wants that. You got to get people that's universal and just like, you know, like what you're saying with the Think Big thing, your product's got to appeal to more than just you and a few other people.
Right about that. That's so besides that, what other type of creative marketing techniques did you try to basically to build your brand name?
Oh, that's actually the perfect way to put it, the brand name. Well, the things that I did to really get myself out there, although I was doing art, I didn't look at it like I need to be in a gallery. My motto was get in where you fit in. So when I was choosing charity events, I was going through, you know, all the high society events that were going on, and if they were at a golf course, I said that's sports. You know, if they had a live jazz thing playing, okay, that's my jazz art. And the other part too is, you know, being a black artist, my stuff's universal. So it ain't like, oh well, that's that and that's this. No, if you like it, it gets in, and I've been blessed enough that when they see it, I'm good. And a lot of times, I've been the only artist there. But you can't be afraid to, you know, just try something different. I mean, they may not even be thinking about your product or what you're trying to do. Just like they weren't thinking about, oh, we could auction off sports here or painting here. They had no idea. So that got me in a whole lot of doors, just thinking outside the box. And I still do that to this day.
Now, you've already mentioned a couple of key points that dealt with marketing and thinking outside of the box. But if you had 5 minutes to give the key to business success, because I know being an athlete, there are certain training that you had to go through, and I know with your business, there was some certain training and techniques that you had to learn or incorporate into what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
What step-by-step method would you share with our listeners who not only, you know, may want to be a painter or an artist or, you know, a musician, just with any kind of business?
I would say the number one thing is start with what you love. What means the most to you? Because if it's something where there's going to be failure, which there is going to be, you need to want to still be able to do it, whether you made a dime or a nickel off of that right then and there. So that's important. You know, you gotta do what you love because you'll feel comfortable. And, you know, you're going to be in uncomfortable position. So do what you love first. And then the second thing I would say is know as much as you can about it. So you know what you're going up against. Study what else is out there. Study, you know, like, you know, once you already know what's comfortable for you, you know, like I said, I'm not trying to chase every hot athlete or hot musician. I had to find my own comfort zone. You know, like with the jazz thing, I'm doing the history of jazz. And I chose to do it a certain kind of way. The sports thing, I'm doing that a certain kind of way where I don't have to, you know, paint the first round draft pick that comes out because I'm not worried about, I'm looking at the long term. And if it doesn't sell right then when that person's hot, I'm still okay because I believe the choices I made are going to withstand the test of time, and I think that's something you got to consider too. You know, whatever you're doing, it's going to have to last, and that's what you should want it to be.
Wow, that's great, and we see that happen a lot in the news today, that things that were hot or kind of lukewarm years ago,
right
now they just you know, pick up. For one, I can think of Barack Obama's book. You know, after he released it, it was, you know, a great book, a great read. But then when he started running for president, those book sales just, you know, basically skyrocketed. And then when you even think about Ted Kennedy, his book just, you know, right after he died, all of on Amazon just shot up.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I've even seen that with, like, just some of the stuff I've done with the paintings. Because of the choices of the people that I've made, that picture didn't play out. I mean, one of the ones that that's kind of funny is, like, I did Ken Griffey Jr. Because when I first started my sports, I wanted to do somebody from each sport. Now, this is probably late 80s, early 90s, and I did Ken Griffey Jr. in his Seattle Mariners jersey. And lo and behold, he gets traded back. Now, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, and that's probably what he would have wore. But it's just funny that because I chose the right person at the right time that meant the right thing, it goes full circle. And even if he never went back, that's probably what he's known for, because when he left, all he did was get hurt. So all his great years were there, so that worked. And that's what I mean by trying to know your subject, know what you're trying to do, and know where you're trying to go. Because that painting didn't sell then, it'll sell now. Like gangbuster, and then once he goes into the Hall of Fame, that makes it even more valuable. So, you know, you got to know what you're doing and not just do busy work, like, oh, let me do this, let me do that. No, really do the dirt and get in there and see what you need to learn before you just jump out there.
What would you say was most memorable that, you know, kind of affected you, that made you think that, you know what, you're on the right track? I mean, something that just stood out and it was just your aha moment.
Wow, because there's a couple of those.
and I know there are.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. You know, the thing that really made me, that's really a tough one, trying to pick one. I think it's the emotion that I've gotten from my paintings. Because, see, one, I'm not one of them cats that think I'm the greatest on the planet. You know, I'm appreciative. If you like my work, that's a beautiful thing. I'm happy that you do. But when I've seen people get emotional, and that blows me away. I did a painting of Joey Galloway. He's a former Buckeye playing the NFL. For his fiance, it was going to be a gift for him. And when she came to pick it up and she started to cry, I was like, wow. And she was so moved, she wrote the check twice. I had to give the second one back, but still.
Wow.
That just let me know that, oh, man, there's something else here. And it wasn't even about the money. It was
the check might have been she wanted you to pay her.
I've had that happen, but she was just that shook. I mean, she didn't even want to take the picture off. She's like, I don't even want to touch it. I was like, wow. So, yeah, that kind of, you know, let me know that there's a little something extra going on here. And then, you know, just like I said, there's been other moments, you know, that really made me feel that. I did a painting of Buster Douglas's dad before he passed away.
Wow.
And it was a terrible week because his brother got killed. And it was during the holidays. And actually his two brothers are the ones that wanted this painting of their father, who was a fighter. And it was a big thing because they had to sneak the picture out to get it to me so I could do this painting for Christmas. So because that wasn't a happy week with the, you know, with the death of his brother, you know, it was kind of like, man. So when Buster actually stopped by himself to thank me, he said, man, that was the only thing that made my dad smile that whole week. And he said, man, I really appreciate that. So that's the kind of stuff that said, okay, dude, you got a little something here. And like I said, it ain't because I'm the greatest painter or nothing. You know, maybe because I'm feeling it, it's going into the painting and it's going right back to the people. So, yeah, I got 100 of those. I got 100 of them.
Wow, that's remarkable. I know that our hosts, we all network and we market a lot, and just for our chief operating officer, actually Carla, to find you, she had to be moved. We don't really have that many painters or artists that come on
wow.
the show. And just, you know, hearing your stories and hearing your passion for it, you know, we all believe that we make great choices in who we choose to interview, regardless of what level they're on. But just listening to you and talking with you and then viewing your artwork is just, I mean, I'm looking at it and it's amazing. Can you get out all of your information? I mean, just how can they reach you?
Okay, once again, I appreciate the direct call. I don't have, like, the staff, so when you do call this number, you will be calling me. And at 614-668-4756, that's 614-668-4756. And you can hit me by email at Michael Fields, MichaelFields, 23@yahoo.com. That's Michael Fields, 23@yahoo.com. And you could check out my work at fineartamerica.com. And that's all one word, fineartamerica.com.
Now, I see that you do a lot with sports and, you know, great artists, whether they're jazz. I saw some, I believe it's Erykah Badu.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you mentioned that you also did cartoon characters or comic book characters.
Uh huh.
Do you also do a lot of just, I'll call it free mind artwork, whereas it's just something that pops into your head and you just might draw just a figure or something that you haven't seen?
No, I did one painting like that, and it was the first time I painted a woman because I just wanted to know what that felt like. That was the only time I just painted somebody just to be painted. Because, like, one of the things, you know, like when I was saying how, you know, I'm trying to tell these stories because, like what I always say is I'm trying to educate and entertain. I'm always trying to do somebody. And for me, that's the challenging part. You know, like to paint just somebody and it's not anybody in particular, that doesn't challenge me because to me, it doesn't look wrong. It doesn't look right. It's just, okay, you did a guy or you did a woman. That's just that. But if you're doing, I'm looking at a painting. I just finished a Josephine Baker. Okay. It better look like Josephine Baker. Or even if the person don't know what Josephine looked like, it better look like somebody they should want to ask you about. And that's the challenge part for me. You know, and I'm wanting you to want to know, well, who was that? And why she's standing here with no clothes on and a little sheet in her hand or whatever she got in her hand. But I want you to know about her. And then that's the education part. You know, I did a painting of Bill Cosby from 1964 because he was one of the first black men on TV. Now, everybody that thinks of Bill, they know him from the Cosby and, you know, maybe a little bit before that with the Afro. This one
right.
is a real clean cut because that's how it was back in those days. Yeah, so he was on I Spy then, and, you know, first black male lead character on the show. So I'm trying to take it back to educate. And it's funny, like, once I say, oh, this is Bill Cosby from 64, they're like, oh, yeah, I see that now, yeah. You know, but the older people, they got it. But, you know, some of the younger people are like, yeah, that do look like Bill, you know, but I have to explain it. But that's fun. That's okay to me. You know, I want you to learn something and go back there, which is why I do, like, my jazz things like that. You know, everybody's not going to know, you know, Sonny Stitt, or they may not know Art Blakey. But I want you to get something out of my painting, and that's the education part. I want it to be a nice painting and want you to enjoy what you're looking at, but at the same time, I want you to learn something.
You know, and that's something else that that strikes me is that I learned about a lot of those jazz musicians from watching the Cosby Show. Whenever he
right.
would get together with his father or he was talking with his buddies, he'd just run off these names and he'd always listen to it. So I was just like, you know, what is this? So I started Googling. Well, they really didn't have the Google back then.
Right, right.
But, you know, I just do a search and start, you know, listening to their music and seeing what all this, you know, talk that the older people you know, were talking about as compared to our music, and it gave me, you know, a great love of jazz and blues.
And that's what's missing, man. I mean, it's funny, there's a whole lot of hip-hop songs that's using old jazz beats that if you actually let the kids know that, no, this came from something from the 30s, 40s, 50s, it would trip them out, and that would make them want to go back and see what, you know, the ancestors did. And then another part of that I think they need to know is those cats worked together. It wasn't all that beef that you get now. You know, Monk and Coltrane and Miles and everybody, they worked together. It wasn't like, oh, you got some skill, come on. You know, that's the thing that we don't get out now.
But it was that good spirit of competitiveness, not like the
right.
Personal competitiveness of now. I mean, Nas is one of the guys that I listen to time to time, and he has a lot of songs that incorporate that because his father was a musician.
Right, so a jazz musician.
Imagine, you know, some of these groups growing up, and I like to listen to the new version, and then I'll always go and find the original, and you'll be surprised.
Right.
At just the original period, you're like, wow, they took that
right. And that's exactly what I want to come out of my art, and you can do that with whatever you're doing, whatever you're trying to market and all that, and the other part of like when you're talking about the marketing thing, I do all my jazz in what I call white, black, and some shades of gray. Now there's two reasons for that. One, it's once again it's another challenge, but two, there's only 12 bars of music, so I would love to have 100 jazz paintings because, like I said, I'm doing the history, which is a big enough challenge in itself. But I like challenging myself to say, okay, how am I going to make this one different? Still just using those three colors. That's easy because each and every one of us are different. So if I don't concentrate on, well, how I'm going to do these colors and just do the person, the colors to do what they going to do. So, you know, there's all of that. And then the marketing part comes in that I don't believe you'll just buy one of Mike's paintings because they all go together. So you could have whoever you want. And they all going to go together. And that's part of the branding, the marketing, the whole shebang-a-bang right there. But you got to have that figured out before you start. And that's what I mean by doing your research, knowing who you are and what you want to do so that when you go out, you're prepared.
I really like the art winning traditions.
With the coaches?
Oh, yeah, that's a real nice one. And you say how it has that Mount Rushmore feel.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, and that's what I love about, you know, the being free thing. I wasn't thinking Mount Rushmore. As soon as I was done with it, I heard it and I seen it, but I wasn't thinking that. It was like I kind of did them in that, you know, kind of black, white, and gray thing, and then having Coach Trussell in color right above it because he was the current new coach, it just came out that way. And that's what's beautiful about the freedom of, you know, of art. And I'm sure that happens with musicians and song and, you know, everybody that does what they do. If you just let it go and not try to control it and, you know, and all of that, you'll be amazed at what you come up with.
Yeah, that's great. Same with the Smooth Jazz All-Stars. That's another great one.
Now, that was a beautiful night because they all signed the painting. And, you know, and that's another thing I try to get. Like, even on Winning Traditions, two of the coaches, you know, they signed in there, both Hall of Fame coaches. Ohio State wouldn't let Coach Trussell sign it, and all kinds of rules and regulations. But the All-Star Jazz thing, each guy, Will Downing, Phil Perry, Norman Brown, Gerald Albright, and Walter Beasley, all five guys signed the painting. And the coolest thing was, and this was after the concert, we probably was sitting backstage for about an hour. I'm thinking, you know, the cats were signing, but like, oh, that's nice, thanks, bye. But no, they were sitting back and they talked about art. And see, I brought a couple of the extras. I brought like a Louis Armstrong and I brought Coltrane. So I let them know that, look, this is the context I'm working in. And I didn't know if it was going to work, but it did. Because they felt like, okay, he really trying to learn and he doing them too. So for them to spend that time, and they were really encouraging, too. That's another reason why I try to help people. They were really encouraging. I'm like, man, I'm sitting here with these Grammy Award-winning All-Stars, and they showed me love like this. I said, I'm going to do what I got to do for whoever comes after me and with me. So, yeah, that was a beautiful night.
Yeah, that's a great thing, how people reach back, and if you continue to reach back and help people, you know, it makes, you know, everyone better as a whole.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things I'm in the process of doing now, I just started last summer, I did a Artists in Schools program, and I'm trying to get involved with the school system now, because the first thing I noticed when I did it last summer, I was at a, you know, Montessori school here, and there was all these little black children, not one black teacher, and the couple of people that were volunteer helpers were women, so I was the only black male. And there was 20-some black boys in this program. I'm like, okay, this ain't good. So at that point, I knew, you know, I'm like, man, I got to do something. And then the other thing about it, too, was as far as when it comes to art, they have no creativity now. And it seemed like in the schools what they do now, they teach you how to pass tests. So what I learned, because, like, in the classes I had a third and fourth, fifth and sixth, and then seventh and eighth. The younger kids, I can give them a simple assignment, and they would just jump at it. The older they got, it was like, well, what do you want me to draw? And I'm like, no, I'm giving you the freedom to draw what you want. Like, so for example, if I said do an apple, it could be yellow apple, green apple, red apple, apple pie, apple tree, whatever you want it to be. They don't go there. They want you to tell them, okay, well, what kind of apple you want me to draw? I'm like, no, it could be whatever apple you want. And that didn't work. So then the other part that tripped me out was this whole trying to be perfect. I'm like, no, there's no such thing. It's whatever it looks like to you. And I really started to see, like, man, they don't let these kids have freedom and imagination anymore. It's kind of like the art classes that they give them now are like crafts. Like, just give them something busy for 40 minutes, and, okay, now they go to the next class. Just to say we take an art. So I'm like, oh, no, I can do something, let me do it.
You might think that it was similar to when you went to school, whereas when they take their art class, they learn, like, well, I'm not saying that even though it is boring, you know, they learn all these different techniques instead of learning how to be free and then incorporate some of these
right.
things. I took art class, you know, and I never could really draw. I mean, the best thing I ever drew was Bugs Bunny in third grade. I drew him so well, nobody believed I drew it.
Well, see, look what that did. You still remember what that you did in third grade. Now, look what that did for you. You still remember that you did it. So it does have its merit. I mean, you only got to hit it one time. If you hit that one home run, that can take you wherever you got to go.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that freedom. And see, what I did was I broke it down into, especially for the ones I was getting the most resistance from, I said, you know what, don't look at it as I'm trying to teach you how to draw or paint or something. I said, think about when you get dressed so that you don't have to wear what everybody else is wearing because you know how to coordinate what you like. Think about when you want to decorate your home. You know what you want in it. You ain't got to have whatever the showroom put there, that lamp and those tables and that furniture. You'll be able to put your own thing, and then that says who you are. You'll enjoy that a whole lot more. And that worked. And I was like, okay. But
Mike,
it's like you got to reach them at their level.
Yeah. Mike, I wish we had more time. Sometimes these interviews just fly. We've got a minute left. Is there any
wow.
one? Or anything that you'd like to thank before we conclude this interview?
Oh, man, I'd like to thank God for blessing me with this talent and giving me the drive to keep this going. And for all the people out there, you know, especially if you're doing your own thing, treat it like a job, like just like you work for somebody else. Don't
wow.
just figure, well, I'm working for myself, I'll get up when I get up. I treat this like my job. I get up at 6 and I close at 5, and that's just what I do. And do it just like you're doing it for somebody else.
great. So everybody, I'd like for you all to thank and listen to Mike Fields from Columbus, Ohio. This man has a lot of wisdom to share. Thanks for listening to thinkbigradio.com, and we hope that you join us again in the future. Think big, everyone.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.